Become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Pastor Billy Crone. Hi, Pastor Billy. How are you?
Great, Dr. Monteith. It's always a joy to be on.
Well, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, boy, how applicable it is to be talking about the topic, and that's the rise of wickedness, especially with some of the recent headlines. I just came across this one that has been going all over the place, all over today, about the Pentagon is actually going to prosecute military personnel who share their faith, of course, Christian faith. And I'll just read a little blip here on this one article. It's all over the place. And it said at a private meeting last week that the military personnel, anyone in the military who proselytized are going to be guilty of sedition and, quote, treason. And their rationale is to quell, quote, a tidal wave of fundamentalists. You know, I just got done preaching, finishing up a six-week topic on the one world religion. And that's exactly what we talked about the whole time. And what they're going to do is they're going to take the true Christians and they're going to make them out to be the bad guys. And they're using the same terminology on us as they use on the Al-Qaeda and the Muslim right-wing extremist fundamentalists. They're using it now on the Christian. I've been saying that for years, ever since 9/11. And here it is. It's really coming to fruition. Now they're not just calling us fundamentalists. Now they're actually going to prosecute us. And the audacity of them to say that we're guilty of treason in our country, when you understand the roots of our country built on a Judeo-Christian ethic with our founding fathers, they must be rolling over their graves. And as wild as that is, it's going to get worse. The Bible says it's going to get worse. In fact, the Bible said, Matthew 24, Jesus said that there's actually going to come a day when the whole world, not just America, but the whole world is going to hate you because of your love for Jesus. And, folks, those days are coming really fast.
And I think it's so important for people to understand that there has been, in Washington, D.C., for a long period of time, a group of people who hate Christianity, and that's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our government, out of our schools, out of our educational system. They knew exactly what they were doing. There was no wall of separation between church and state. That's why we no longer celebrate Christmas or Easter in our schools. Now, Sydney, this is why, Sydney, in the military today, if you are a Christian minister, you cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ. A military leader cannot lead his troops in prayer. And America was great because America was good and Christian. But if America ever ceases to be good and Christian, America is going to cease to be great. And that's just exactly what's coming down the line. And unless the Christians of America rise up, and we are the vast majority, and if they don't understand what's happening, it's very, very simple. There is a conspiracy against Christianity, and it involves the people who control both political parties, control the media, and largely control certainly what the American people think and believe. And it's time we took America back. Right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, man, you sound like my sermon last Sunday. I was dealing with the next topic, one world government. And that's what I shared. I says, we've been duped. I says, we've got snookered in this two-party system. And Democrat, Republican, and we fight back and forth, and we think that our savior is going to come from a political savior, and it's not. There's only one savior, and his name is Jesus Christ, and that's what our country was built on. And I said, we've been duped. We've been snookered. I said, to give you an analogy, every election we're given two choices, Democrat, Republican. But here's a good way to look at it. This next election, when that's thrown at you, you need to ask yourself this question. Well, which one am I going to vote for, the Gambinos or the Corleones? Because they're both in on it, folks. And they pull the wool over our eyes. And you're right, Dr. Monteith, it's time that we get the truth out, get motivated, because we are in a serious crisis in our country.
amen to that. And basically, if the American people, the good people, the Christians won't take a stand, who will? And if not now, when? We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone. But ladies and gentlemen, the sides are drawn. Whose side are you on?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double enamel number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Billy is simply telling us the difference in how things have changed. Basically, how things were in the 1940s, how they were in the 1980s. What was the major problem in school in the 40s? What was the major problem in school in the 80s? Would you just start at the very beginning? What was the major problem in school in the 1940s? Wasn't it talking in school?
Yeah, talking. That was the number one problem they had. Crazy, whacked out, really horrible, wicked behavior, disciplinary action is needed, is talking. Well, by the 1980s, folks, this is how fast it's escalated, the wickedness, the rise of wickedness that the Bible warned about. The number one problem in schools in the 1980s was drug abuse. The number two problem in the 1940s was chewing gum. Number two in the 80s was alcohol abuse. Number three in the 40s was making noise. Ooh. By the 1980s, that had changed to pregnancy. Number four in the 1940s was running in the hallways. By the 1980s, that had changed to suicide. Number five, the fifth biggest problem in schools in 1940 was getting out of place in line. Well, that changed in the 1980s to rape. Number six, wearing improper clothing. That was a huge problem. And by the 1980s, it was robbery. And the seventh biggest problem in the 1940s in public school system was not putting paper in the waste basket. And by the 1980s, it was assault. Okay, and that's just again, it's much worse than that. We got got all kinds of guns, you got killings and things of that nature, and it's just getting worse. But you can see, folks, it's escalating. It's not just saying, oh yeah, there's been wickedness. No, there's a rise of wickedness. There's a massive rise of wickedness. It's growing exponentially, And that's exactly what the Bible said would happen in the last days. In fact, if we're honest with ourselves, even as adults, it's getting so bad. It's getting so commonplace. Turn on your TV set. We're not even shocked by it anymore. It's just, okay, that's just a normal day. Yeah, that's what it is. We almost expect it. And it's getting worse by the day. You can hardly even go to the movies without even getting shot. You can't walk down the street without getting assaulted. People will kill somebody else just for a pair of shoes. You got egregious, horrid behavior. People are eating each other's faces off. It's sick out there. Well, why? Well, because the Bible says this is exactly what's going to happen when you're living in the last days. And this, to me, Dr. Montita, is like one of the biggest signs in Bible prophecy. Even for the skeptic, pay attention, that we really are folks living in the last days. It is radically different. It isn't like it was even just 10 years ago, okay? Not only, number one, I think you need to pay attention to the Jewish people. I think that's one of God's biggest signs. And when they became a nation again back in 1948, you should have been, and in a shockwave around the world, the people who were no longer a people became a nation again because God said that's what's going to happen in the last days. Okay, and they're a major player during the seven-year tribulation. They had to come back into existence in order for Bible prophecy to come pass, and they did. But this second one, this rise of wickedness, is huge. I mean, all you've got to do is not only turn your TV and see that there is constant conflict in Israel, which God said would happen in the last days, but you see this constant wickedness all over the world. It's one of the biggest signs, this rise of wickedness. We're in that generation. Okay? Now, the irony of it, the sadness of it, is, and you say this all the time, Dr. Montita, and you're absolutely spot on, is we're not just in a battle here, folks. It's not just snookering America to go along with a one-world government and a one-world economy to get us to surrender our sovereignty. You have to understand this is a spiritual battle. There is a deliberate attack on God. Why? Because our country was founded on biblical principles. Of course, even in our Declaration of Independence, that's exactly what we say, that we're endowed by these rights by our Creator, and on. But the question is, well, wait a second, how in the world could there be such an explosion of wickedness in such a short amount of time in America with our godly heritage? How in the world could a, quote, Christian nation turn from being lovers of God into people eating their faces off, and where our own military, the Pentagon, is actually saying you are going to be guilty of sedition and treason if you talk about Christianity to another person? Well, it's because, and again, Dr. Massey, you say this all the time, you're right, because there's a deliberate spiritual attack going on in our country. And one of those attacks, folks, is from an outfit, we've talked about this before, called humanism. And what humanism, which basically, if you don't understand what humanism is, it's basically the worldview that man is the center of all things, not God, okay? And obviously that right there means it's diametrically opposed to Christianity, okay? But let me share with you some of their basic tenets, and as I share them with you, you tell me if they have not infiltrated the thinking of our society, in the mindset of our Congress, in our government, in our schools, in our media. And the reason why they have is because they've infiltrated and taken over much of the government, the Supreme Court, and the educational system and the media, okay? But here's what they believe in contrast to Christianity. They believe that faith in the prayer-hearing God assumes the living care for persons to hear and understand their prayers and to be able to do something about them is an unproved and outmoded faith. Number two, they say we find insufficient evidence for the belief in the existence of a supernatural. We begin with humans and not God. They say, number three, we do not accept as true the literal interpretation of the Bible. Number four, we include the recognition of an individual's right to die with dignity, euthanasia, suicide, birth control, abortion. And number five, we believe that intolerant attitudes, often cultivated by orthodox religions and puritanical cultures, unduly repress sexual conduct. Divorce should be recognized, and many varieties of sexual exploration should not themselves be considered evil, and that promises of salvation or fear of eternal damnation is illusory or harmful. And they say this, that no deity will save us. We must save ourselves, okay? if you're paying attention, folks, that's pretty much the mindset about every aspect of our culture today.
But, you know, Pastor Billy, if we're going to save ourselves, we're sure doing a poor job of it. And I think the only thing that's going to save our society is if people turn back to God and follow His rules rather than our own rules. And basically, it's a spiritual battle. It's being fought on a political, ideological, cultural battlefield. But until people understand it's a spiritual battle, nothing going on makes sense. And if you think that we're going to solve this problem on our own with our own intelligence, I think, of course, why you're in for a big surprise. America is going to be destroyed if we do not have a revival and turning back to God. But you go right ahead.
Well, and it has to be a spiritual revival. And I remember, Dr. Monteith, when I got saved 20 years ago, God had mercy on me and became a Christian. I noticed back then, that was 1993, and I noticed that you know, everybody was gung-ho in Christian politics, and it seemed like just watching over the last two decades how the church has put their hope in a political savior. And again, we've been duped, folks. Which one do you want? Democrat, Republican? You want the Gambinos? You want the Corleones? Which one do you want in the office? Because they're both in on it, okay? And that's just the fact. And that's why nothing ever changes. That's why foreign policy never changes. That's why this push for globalism never changes. That's why this push to combine America into some sort of an economic union and give up her sovereignty never changes. It never changes. It doesn't matter what the party is. It doesn't change that we continue to have our freedoms taken away from us under the guise of terrorism and all kinds of things of that nature. It doesn't change that they continue to ignore and to try to change and call it outdated, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, in which our country was founded upon. It doesn't change. We've been duped. And it reminds me of what the church is doing today, Dr. Monteith, and trying to put all their eggs into a political savior, that if we can just get XYZ into office, then America is going to turn around. No, it's a spiritual battle. It's the same thing, if you read your Bible, it's the same thing that the people of Israel did when Jesus, the real one and only Savior, showed up on the scene. And they were under oppression, too, by the Roman government. The Roman government had, you know, with heavy-duty taxation. They basically, their only rights came from the Roman government and things of that nature. They had to report to the Roman government. And the Jewish people wanted to be free from the constraints of that. So when Jesus, who came to save them from their sin, they came and they were excited because they thought he was going to be their political savior. But folks, they rejected him when he said, I got a higher purpose for you. I've come to save you, not just from Roman political oppression. I've come to save you from eternal damnation. I want to give you something better. And they rejected him. And I see the American church, Dr. Monteith, for the last two decades, do the exact same thing. Instead of realizing, like our founding fathers did, the only hope for our nation to turn around, to quell and to stem and to reverse the tide of this wickedness and atrocity to the foundations of our country, is going to come with a spiritual revival, we continue to fall for the lie that it's a political revival. I watch it happen every single election time, every single election year. You see Christians that aren't doing anything. They're not doing anything, sharing the gospel. They're not telling people about Jesus. They're not anything like that. And then all of a sudden it comes political time. Man, they're going gung-ho. They're out there. They're passing out leaflets for their candidate like this, and they're knocking on doors. They're financially giving, supporting, whatever. Because that's what they think is going to turn the country around. And it never works. Until we get that gung-ho about the spiritual revival that's needed for our nation, it's never going to change, folks, at all. And you might look at this status and go, well, it's just never going to happen. It's impossible for America. It's just too far gone that there's ever going to be a spiritual revival. And I just showed this a couple weeks ago. Folks, God is still on the throne. I don't care who we have currently in the office, and I don't care how wicked they are. I don't care if the Pentagon currently is saying that they're now going to prosecute and consider an act of treason for a military personnel to share their faith about Jesus Christ to another person. God can change a heart. He could turn it around. And I gave this as an evidence. If you guys didn't see this, you need to, because it's very encouraging. The president of Uganda, Yoweri Museveni, he actually nationally repented not only for his own sins, but for the sins of the country, and he dedicated his country back to God. Yes, believe it or not, a president of a country on planet Earth, 2013, this actually happened. I'll read it when you get back what he did. Folks, if it could happen there, it could still happen in America. We cannot give up. Our worst enemy is a lack of activity and apathy. All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And that's exactly what they want us to do. They want us to think it's hopeless. There's nothing we could do, and that's a lie. And we need to get motivated.
And if it's going on over in Uganda, why don't we hear about this? Why does the tale? Why don't our leaders, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, announce that the president of Uganda has pledged his country to God? Well, I think you probably know. It's because they're on the other side. We'll be back in a moment with Pastor Billy.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto yourself. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Pastor Billy Crone is with us and simply talking about how the president of Uganda has repented publicly of his own sin and certainly the sin of his country and has dedicated his country to God. Now, certainly they are having a revival over there. Things will change. And the same thing could happen in America, only, of course, you're not going to find that we have leaders like that here, because, of course, the people who control America are subservient to the Brotherhood, and the Brotherhood has a different agenda because they worship a different God. Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, again, let me just share you the statistic. Hey, folks, it's no different than the history of our country. Okay, it's no different than the time set when we took on the greatest power of the day, Britain, and it was with only a handful of men, who dared to stand up and say no more, okay? But you need to understand it was a spiritual movement, okay? There was many different phrases, you know, don't tread on me and stuff like that. But one of the rallying cries, one of the mottos of the American Revolution was this, folks: no king but King Jesus. Okay, they don't say that. And they certainly ripped that out of the textbook. Okay, no king but King Jesus. And it was a spiritual thing. They trusted that as is quoted in our founding document, that we are endowed with these rights by our Creator. We have no king but King Jesus. Okay, but again, when it came time, only 3% of the people in America actually fought against Great Britain. And only 10% of the citizens actively supported that 3%, and approximately 20% of the population consider themselves to be on the side of the revolution, but they didn't do anything. They just sat there. Oh, yeah, we're for you. They didn't do squat. Okay, and then toward the climactic end of the Revolutionary War, folks, listen to this. Sounds exactly like today. We got a lot of turncoats. Approximately 30% actually fought on the side of the British in America, 30%. And then tell me this doesn't sound like today, the apathy. The rest of the citizens in America at the time of the Revolutionary War had no disposition either way. They didn't care. Quote, they didn't want to do anything with what they deemed to simply be a political issue. Folks, that's exactly today. But take heart, 3%, only 3% of our founding fathers, the people of America at the time, took on Great Britain, fought them, stood for spiritual principles, no king but King Jesus, and God honored that, and they whooped the pants off of them. And that's the birth of our nation. It can happen again today, folks. But I'm telling you, don't get dismayed by the odds. Don't get discouraged. It's exactly what they want you to do, because that will instill fear in you. And we need to get a spiritual backbone, and we need to begin to have the same rallying cry, you know, give me liberty or give me death. Instead of just quoting these guys, we need to live it. And we've been so conditioned to be such a lazy, indifferent six-pack Joe. Then here's our big rallying cry. We got the cry used to be in our country, you know, Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. And here's our big thing. Hey, give me hot French fries or I'm going to tell the manager. It's like, woohoo, yeah, Mr. Big Bravery taking a step there. Folks, the noose is coming around our neck, and we have got to get motivated, especially when I saw this, Dr. Montee. Excuse me, the Pentagon is going to consider it an act of treason to share the Christian faith. Our founding fathers must be rolling over the grave saying, what has happened to you people? We fought, we gave our lives, we died, we bled, we gave up everything, our resources, our houses, our lands, our very lives. We knew when we were signing these documents that in their eyes of Britain, they were guilty of treason, but we're willing to fight for freedom. And folks, we have to get that same backbone back if there's going to be any hope for our nation. But again, I'm telling you, it's not going to come politically. Don't make the same mistake as Israel did in the New Testament. Okay, our founding fathers knew it. It's no king but King Jesus. It's a spiritual revival, folks. We've got to speak up. We've got to speak out. And again, folks, it is a deliberate attack, okay, with humanism. And if you don't think so, folks, you need to do the research, because they admit it. They admit that they are taking not just over the nation, okay, and pushing us towards this one world government, okay, that the Bible warned about is the Antichrist kingdom. It isn't something great. It's going to be mankind's worst nightmare. Jesus warned, okay, in Matthew 24. The worst time in history, he said it was going to be. But these guys it's a spiritual battle. They know that in order to get us to go along with a one world government, where literally one guy is going to rule and then say, worship me, I am God. I mean, there's no way that's going to happen. Well, you have to do away with the Christian roots of this nation. You have to do away with the Judeo-Christian ethic, because there's only one God, Jesus Christ, and only he's worthy of worship. So how are these people going to give up their freedoms and their sovereignty and worship a man? Well, folks, that's what they've done. It's a spiritual battle. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to share with you some actual quotes from the humanists And they make no bones about it. There's no conspiracy here. These guys admit it in their own words. Their great object was to get rid of Christianity and to, quote, kill the Christian God. And they said, if we can do that, we're going to win and we're going to take over this nation.
And it's the old adage, you're either going to be ruled by God or you're going to be ruled by tyrants. Who here really thinks are ruled in America by God today? And they've taken God out of every aspect of our society because they're people who want to be tyrants. They know exactly what they're doing. Well, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, but I fear the Spirit of the Lord has long since left. And if we don't bring it back, and God is not going to come unless we ask him to. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
To Dr. Stan, our guest, Pastor Billy Crone, and he was simply quoting a from verse of the humanists who talk about the importance of killing the God of Christianity and how education will be used to destroy the faith of our young people. And you can send kids to school for an hour on Sunday, too, for Sunday school. Oh, but of course, that's only part of the children. And all of the children will be taken into our school and forcibly educated. They may not be taught to read very well, but we will be able to certainly indoctrinate them with these atheistic ideas. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a conspiracy against God, and nobody is telling you that. Oh, you're not supposed to talk about conspiracy. Ladies and gentlemen, a conspiracy is two people getting together and secretly plotting. It's not two people. It's certainly tens of thousands of people all throughout the educational system who have an intense hatred of God and are using our schools to indoctrinate our youth. And that's why if you love your children, your grandchildren, you need to get them out of public schools because they do not stand a chance there. And we find that today, as you analyze children graduating from high school, so many of them are not Americans. They're globalists. They're world citizens. And they're not Christians. They, of course, have gone on to a much higher form of knowledge. Certainly, they understand that religion is based upon superstition. And, of course, what will really make a better world is men using and applying reason. Well, Pastor Billy, before we go on, would you tell our listeners how they get in touch with your ministry there in Las Vegas?
Yeah, you can check us out at our main media website at getalifemedia.com. That's GetalifeMedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Or if you're in the Las Vegas area and you want to come personally for studies, you can do so at Sunrise Baptist Church. And our website is sunriselv.com. SunriseLV is in LasVegas.com. Or you can just search for my name on the Internet, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N as in Nancy E, Billy Crone, and that'll take you where you need to go.
And basically, of course, Pastor Billy has all sorts of video sets, and they're not simply just somebody hitting up and preaching. Basically, he has all sorts of wonderful video footage. I don't know where he's gotten it, but he's been collecting it for years. And he puts the certainly the sermons together with a video background and documentation that make it not only interesting, but extremely informative. And, of course, one of the favorites of mine is the Final Countdown series. There are actually six sets, each one with five DVDs in it, each DVD well over half an hour. And basically, you'll learn so much by listening to Pastor Billy. When will part six be available? Are we doing pretty well with it?
Yeah, actually, you should have several sets on you. It should be there by now.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll check with our secretary tomorrow. But you pick up the story. We were simply talking about this organized effort to destroy the Christian foundation of this country, and it permeates the highest levels of our government. And that is, of course, why the Pentagon announced today that if you are out in, and you are in the military and you are proselytizing, in other words, you're telling people about your faith, that's an act of treason. Ladies and gentlemen, we've lost America. And if we don't take it back, we'll have nobody to blame but ourselves. Pastor Billy, go right ahead.
Well, and again, it's really easy to demonstrate that this is true when you just take a look at their own words. They're not ashamed of it. You're like, oh, you're crazy. You got that off a wacky conspiracy guy. It doesn't work. No, I did. These direct quotes from these guys. They admit it. And again, the quote from G. Richard Bozarth, and he said this. He says, we must ask how we can kill the God of Christianity. That's their goal, folks. He says, we need only to ensure that our schools teach only secular knowledge. If we could achieve this, God would indeed be shortly due for a funeral service. John Dunphy, he said this, another humanist, he says, I am convinced that the battle for mankind's future must be waged and won where? In the public school classroom, by teachers who correctly perceive their role as proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity. These teachers must embody the same selfless dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preachers, for they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach, regardless of the educational level, preschool, daycare, or even a large state university. The classroom, he says, must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity and the new faith of humanism. And another guy says this is their ultimate goal, folks. They actually believe that our children do not belong to us, but belong to them. And we have the audacity to think that we're going to train them. They have an agenda. They are preparing our kids for the new world order. Don't believe me? Listen to this guy's quote. He says, every child in America entering school at the age of five, listen to this, is mentally ill. What? What do you mean? Well, listen to this. He says, here's why he's mentally ill. Because, quote, he comes to school with certain allegiances towards our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, towards a belief in a supernatural being, towards the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It is up to you, teachers, to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. Hey, folks, whatever happened to reading, writing, and arithmetic? Uh-uh. School's been hijacked, folks, by these humanists, okay, and they are teaching a different agenda. It's humanism, that man is the center of all things. Why? Because that's what you need to get people to go along with what the Bible warned about was the Antichrist kingdom, and there's going to be a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economy, and it's going to institute a system called the Mark of the Beast. Folks, it's all in place. But in order to do that, you have to do what they said we are out to do. You have to kill, quote-unquote, the God of Christianity. Of course, you can't, but meaning they're getting it out of America, okay? And they're doing it with the school system, the educational system. They're taking over the court system. And the irony is, Dr. Monteith, when you teach this stuff, when you teach that there is no God, okay, from a child, from the 5 years old or even preschool, even earlier, then they grow up and we're shocked that they act ungodly. So we teach kids from wee high that they came from ape instead of Adam in the image of God, created for a special purpose. So we teach them they came from apes, then we're shocked when they act like apes. And then when we see these atrocities and this rise of wickedness that the Bible said was going to take place in the last days, we get all, you know, people shake a fist at God, why, God, why? Okay, and I love this. We actually share the video of this, and the guy demonstrates it very well. And he, you know, basically the cry, why, God, why is all this evil in the school and the shootings and the killings and why? And they go, it goes like this. It says, dear God, why didn't you save the children at Moses Lake, Washington, or Bethel, Alaska, or Pearl, Mississippi, or West Paducah, Kentucky, or Stamp, Arkansas, or Jonesboro, Arkansas, or Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, or Fayetteville, Tennessee, or Springfield, Oregon, Richmond, Virginia, Littleton, Colorado, Tabor, Alberta, Canada, Conyers, Georgia, Denning, New Mexico, Fort Gibson, Oklahoma, Santee, California, El Cajon, California, and Blacksburg, Virginia. Sincerely, concerned student. Reply, dear concerned student, God speaking, I am not allowed in schools. Sincerely, God. And then he goes on to say, he says, well, how did this get started? He said, I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hare complained that she didn't want any prayer in our schools. And we said, okay. And then someone said, well, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbors yourself. And we said, okay. And then Dr. Spock came along and he said, we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their personalities would be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. And we said, well, an expert should know what he's talking about, so we don't spank them anymore. And then someone said, teachers and principals better not discipline our children when they misbehave. And the school administrator says, no faculty member in this school better touch a student when they misbehave because we don't want any bad publicity and we sure don't want to be sued. And we accepted their reasoning. And then someone said, hey, let's let our daughters have abortions if they want, and they won't even have to tell their parents. And we said, that's a grand idea. And then some white school board member said, hey, since boys will be boys and they're going to do it anyway, let's give our sons all the condoms they want so they can have all the fun they desire. They want to tell their parents that they got them at school. And we said, hey, that's another great idea. And then some of our top elected officials said, it doesn't matter what we do in private as long as we do our jobs. And we said, it doesn't matter what anybody, including the president, does in private as long as we have jobs and the economy is good. And someone else took that appreciation a step further and published pictures of new children and then steps further by making them available on the internet. And we said, hey, everyone's entitled to free speech. And then the entertainment industry said, hey, let's make TV shows and movies that promote profanity and violence and illicit sex, and let's record music that encourages rape and drugs and murder and suicide and satanic themes. And we said, it's just entertainment, and it has no adverse effect, and nobody takes it seriously anyway, so go right ahead. And now we are asking ourselves, why are our children having no conscience? Why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, classmates, or even themselves? Undoubtedly, if we thought about it long and hard enough, we could figure it out. Surely it has a great deal with, we reap what we sow. Because we've allowed these humanist folks to come in here with their belief system being promoted in our school system, in our courtrooms, in our governments, in the media, that there is no such thing as God, that the Bible's a bunch of baloney. We need to take all restraints off on behavior. We need to encourage euthanasia and abortion and suicide. Let people do whatever they want. That's why. Because God isn't doing this, folks. We're doing it to ourselves. It ain't him, it's us. We kicked him out of our schools. We kicked him out of our courtrooms. We kicked him out of our government. And we've allowed a wicked teaching into our society called humanism with its atheistic mindset, and it's giving birth to all this baloney. And if there's any hope, folks, I'm telling you, if there's any hope for our nation, we have got to get back, so to speak, to a spiritual revival. We got to, if you will, kick God back into our school system, back into our courtrooms and back into our government, and we got to seek his blessings again like the president of Uganda did. That's the only way out of this mess, and until we get that, we are wasting our time, okay? And again, they've come along, and they've taught this, and one of the most secular anti-institutions that you could ever send your kids to is called public education, okay? It is going to radically affect your kids, and they're going to have your kids for at least 40 hours a week, and the average parent spends less than a half hour a day with their children. They've got your kid for at least 8, and that's just the secular system. Attack on to that all the media influence. Attack on that the secular influence and their friends, their peer influences that's also ingesting this stuff. Folks, they've got the mind of our children. And you think, well, it's not really that bad on. Are you kidding me? Let me give you some statistics. Ever since, because remember, the Bible and prayer, Christianity, creationism, that we're created from God, which means we're accountable to God, okay, and the Ten Commandments used to be in our schools, okay, but they ripped them out. Now, let me give you some statistics from the U.S. Census Bureau. Ever since evolution was introduced into our school system, and you tell me if it's had positive results on the behavior of our children and our society, okay? Back in the 1950s, the average textbook only had 2,000 to 3,000 words about evolution. But in 1963, it jumped up to 33,000 words, and it also just so happened that in 1963, that's also when prayer and Bible reading was taken out of the American school system, all right? So let's take a look and see what this effect had on our country. Since 1963, sexually transmitted diseases among teenagers and young adults have increased nearly 400%. Instances of premarital sex among teenagers have skyrocketed. Unwed pregnancies among young girls is up 553%. Unmarried couples living together is up 725%. Divorce rates are up 111%. Single-parent households are quickly becoming the norm. The SAT scores have absolutely plummeted. We actually share video clips of former school administrations working for the National Education Association admit that they are deliberately dumbing down the population of America. They also, another statistic, alcohol and drug consumption obviously has gone ballistic. And listen to this. Ever since 1963, since evolution, ripped God out of the schools. Yeah, that's great, huh? Ever since then, 1963, violent crime gone up 995%. And again, folks, hey, is it really a surprise? You tell kids they came from an ape, you're surprised when they act like apes. You tell kids that there is no meaning to life, and you're shocked when they have no respect for life. It makes sense. What you believe determines how you behave. And these guys know this, folks, the humanists. That's why they're attacking Christianity. That's why they've slowly, methodically, over the last several decades, been slowly but surely removing God out of the equation. And this is the fruits of it. And again, the thing is, it's not just they're doing it. The Bible warns. This is exactly the kind of society you can expect when you're living in the last days. You're going to see this massive, massive rise of wickedness, and it is surely a sign that, folks, we had better get motivated. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is coming back, and you need to be prepared. But I wanted to share, Dr. Montes, if I could, a warning that Paul Harvey gave to our country nearly 50 years ago. And this was 50 years ago, folks. And it's like, man, too bad we didn't listen to him back then. But it's a little story, and it's just called If I Were the Devil. And listen to what he said. He said, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, he said, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I would have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. He said, I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of the serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good and what is good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors on how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects but neglect to discipline emotion. Just let those run wild until before you knew it, you'd have to have, he said this 50 years ago, he said you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon, I could evict God from the courthouse, and then from the schoolhouse, and then from the House of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls in church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I would take from those who have and I would give to those who wanted until I killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what will you bet I could get the whole states to promote gambling as a way to get rich? I would caution against extremes and hard work and patriotism and moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is much more fun, and that what you see on TV is the way it's to be, and thus I could undress you in public and lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. And he says, in other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
50 years ago, and yet, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what's going on today. And basically, there really is a devil. There is evil in the world. I mean, basically, why do we have all these crimes? They will never tell you that these people are demonically possessed. A few of them will come forward, like Sam Berkovitz, David Berkovitz, who was the son of Sam Keller, and admitted, you know, that he was demonically possessed when he killed six people. He's in prison for life. He'll never be out. But I just read a beautiful treatise he put forward explaining how he was satanically possessed and this is why he did what he did. And how, of course, out of that came his dedication to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, until we understand that we're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men, and our enemies now control the reins of government all across America. One day we will have to pay for that. Pastor Billy, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do all to yourself. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
So they did not have that many dedicated Christians as they were willing to take a stand when America was founded. We don't have that many today, but if the people are involved and working in concert, well, we can take America back, but we're not going to take it back politically. Certainly we should be involved politically, but we have to understand that this is a spiritual battle. And if we do not bring people into a personal relationship with our Lord, nothing is going to change. Pastor Billy, parting thought, and I'll let you go.
Well, just again, Dr. Monteith, just encourage people. It's already happened today with the president of a nation, Uganda. He actually repented of his sins, the national sins for the whole country, and dedicated the country back to God. It can happen there, folks. It can happen here in America. Don't quit. Don't get apathetic. It's time to get motivated.
God bless. Thanks very much, Pastor. Bye-bye. And this is Dr. Stan, and of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America, indeed across the world, that we are involved in a spiritual battle, and of course, we are a voice. There are a few of us, but certainly each one of us needs help and support, and certainly we have about over 50 outlets every single week, and where we are able to try to get people to look and see things clearly. Today we see things through a glass darkly, but we must see things clearly. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us, why? Because you can join the Radio Liberty family and get our four best tapes or CDs of the month, our monthly newsletter. You can subscribe to our newsletter, or you can certainly buy the various books and DVDs and four CD sets we have, and you can find all those on RadioLiberty.com, or you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a catalog or go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, and it's all listed there. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to think about the other products we have, the health products we have, the Berkey water products, certainly the Miracle 2 soap products, the spices we have. These all certainly go into trying to maintain our network. We're talking about this, certainly $50,000, $60,000 a month we have to be able to put up just to keep this ministry going. But with your help in the past, we've been able to do it. And if you'll continue helping us, why, we will be deeply appreciative. And if you're not in a position to help financially, and we know many of you are not, then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, to pray for our provision and our protection. Now, you need to, of course, get my book of Radio Liberty. You need to get Pastor Billy Crone's wonderful four or five CD sets. We have actually the final countdown, the story of what's taking place today from a prophetic point of view. We have points 1 through 5, and hopefully we'll have the sixth one here very shortly. Each one has five CDs in it. Fascinating information that you need and that you can share with others to help people see what is really taking place today. Because, of course, we are seeing the unfolding of prophecy. And we can look at things just happening by accident, or we can understand there's a spiritual force behind this. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's why you need to get certainly our four CD set on the supernatural. You need to get our four CD set on satanic crimes. And then, of course, certainly we have a number of Pastor Billy's other four CD sets. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. They're well worthwhile getting. You need to be able to discuss what's going on intelligently. You need to be reading the scriptures, reading God's word, and certainly helping other people to understand what's taking place. And if you look at things going on, for instance, Israel recently released 1,027 convicted terrorists. 1,027 convicted terrorists, 400 of them were murderers, many were multiple murderers, 5, 10, 20 people. They released them all to get back one soldier. Does that make sense to you? Of course it doesn't make sense, but most of what's going on in the world doesn't make sense. If you really stop and analyze what's going on, understand that everything is manipulated. Reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. Certainly what took place on September 11th, 2001, was a controlled demolition. If you doubt that, why, of course, you need to get the Operation Terror. It's a new DVD we have, a movie, it's fictional. Or get Richard Gage's DVDs or get them all together. But basically, they kill those people. They kill 3,000 of them. If you think that they care about your life or your family, you're mistaken. Justice is a city of remembrance of things past. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise
this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Cheryl Hancock, who is certainly over in Israel, and she's living in Jerusalem. She reports to us on a monthly basis what's really going on over there. We're just so pleased to have her keeping us informed of what's going on. Hi, Cheryl. How are we doing?
Doing well this morning. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Of course, it's morning over in Israel. It's late night here. Of course, it's morning tomorrow morning over there. It's Friday morning, and we're broadcasting Thursday evening. But Cheryl, tell us, how are things over in Israel? Have you heard anything at all about them mobilizing any of the troops over there, certainly some of the reserves? Is this a rumor we're hearing here, or is that really true?
No, actually, they're having this was not planned, that they were going to have a major drill. This started, I think it was yesterday or the day before. All of a sudden, they called up 2,000 reservists, and all these people went up north, and it was an emergency call out. Even the leader didn't know. The leader of the defense didn't know that this was going to happen. But there were so many threats coming from Hezbollah, because they believe that Hezbollah is now getting chemical weapons from Assad. Many of the Hezbollah members are going and fighting on Assad's side in Syria, and they're receiving these weapons, but because of the threats from Lebanon, from Hezbollah in Lebanon, and they actually, Hezbollah took over all the posts of the Lebanese army. See, the Lebanese army and Hezbollah, they kind of are fighting against each other. Hezbollah is more of the terrorist group that wants to kill Israel. They are Shiite Muslims, and so they kicked out the Lebanese soldiers, and they took over their posts on the Israeli border. So things just got more dangerous for Israel. So, yes, there are major drills going on right now that was not expected. And so there's actually an emergency readiness committee that's going to get the people prepared for anything that comes up in the near future.
And, of course, basically, ladies and gentlemen, we've been trying to lay out the fact that we think that this is going to be a very important time for Israel. And basically, it was just a couple of days ago, we heard that they'd called up the reserves. And I don't know what's going to happen. I think probably what's going to happen is that Israel is going to invade Syria. We're just going to have to wait and see. But certainly everything would point in that direction. Now, remember, if Israel does invade Syria, why, it'll be at the behest of the United States. But we will be very, very critical of Israel, because everything is certainly make-believe. Everything is theatrics. And certainly if Israel were to move against Syria, basically, of course, Israel has to gain control of the chemical weapons that are there. They can't let them fall into the hands of the terrorists. And certainly this seems to be the way it's going. And so basically, I think they're just looking for a way to remedy this. And they're going to use Israel rather than American troops. And of course, they won't have the permission of the United Nations. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. But at least now you know firsthand that there really are these troops have been called up. And I suspect in the very near future there'll be more of the reserves called up. I think everybody, every male, certainly in Israel, who is not Orthodox, between 18 and about 50 or 55, is in the military. And certainly even some of the Orthodox are being taken at the present time. Is that right? Are they taking some of the Orthodox in the military?
Yes, they just passed a new law, and they're already bringing them into the military. They're going to be bringing all of them in eventually to the military. They need all the people they can get at this time. Actually, there's people coming over from the West that are joining the Army, young men and women joining the Army, leaving their families in the West, in America, Canada, Europe, and they're joining the IDF at this time.
Because
they're called the Lone Soldiers.
Because the people there, I think Jews throughout the world, realize that Israel is moving into a period of chaos and crisis, and they want to stand with Israel, and I certainly respect them for that belief. Well, certainly our guest is Cheryl Hancock. We're going to be back in a few minutes talking about what's going on in the Holy Land. Well, Cheryl, is this having any effect on the average life over there, or does life go on pretty much as it has been?
Well, it's going on as it has been. Israelis are used to having problems on borders, on the seams, inside of Israel, but there's many things that have changed also, because this problem here is just only the tip of the iceberg here. As you may know, that the U.S. troops have been deployed over to Jordan, to Lebanon, to Turkey, Iraq, and they're all there trying to figure out what to do with Syria, with the chemical weapons that may be coming in. So more even IDF troops are called up there. There are now posts on the Golan Heights, IDF posts, where they are bringing in some of the wounded from Syria. These people in Syria, the Sunnis, are fighting against the Shiites. The Shiites, Assad, and the regime, the Sunnis are the ones that are the rebels fighting against them. Both of them do not like Israel. Israel knows it, but they're still treating the wounded over there. So the people are trying to prepare. They're getting their masks. They're getting their bomb shelters ready. Of course, we have this problem coming on with Iran. And it was said earlier, it was Yadlin from the, he's a member of Knesset. He said now they're going to have probably a bomb this year. And so Israel needs to decide what to do. And they don't want to go in alone. They want the United States to be with them. So it doesn't look like Israel is just a renegade country going in to stop Iran. But they really believe they may have a bomb this year. So, yes, Israelis are changing their way of life a little bit. There's a terrorist attack going on in Israel. I don't know if you've heard. Some people are calling it the Third Intifada. Some people are playing it down. But one man was at a bus station the other day, a bus station I've been to, many of my friends go to, and an Arab walked up, a Muslim Arab walked up, and just began stabbing him in the chest, killing him. And he's dead. And people have thrown a fit over it because they're protesting. There's not enough security for the Israelis. We actually have a border police just to keep the people secure in Israel. And on the Palestinian side, they don't need border police. There are no Jews really going to attack the Arabs. The one thing the Jews are doing to retaliate now is they're putting graffiti on some of the mosques and the walls, and they have burned some of the mosques, so they're starting to get angry enough to retaliate in that way. But they have not gone and killed some Palestinians yet.
But you say there's probably a lot more tension now between the Israelis and the Palestinians than there has been in the past.
Yes, exactly. There really is, because we see this intifada, this the holy war coming about just in bigger ways than in a long time. As a matter of fact, yesterday I just got a report this morning that there were some Jewish people walking down by the Dead Sea. There's this wadi where there's a beautiful river, and they were showing their European friends.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cheryl is saying that things really are getting a little tense over there, and certainly the people are really very concerned. All the Israelis are getting their gas masks for fear, of course, that the chemical weapons in Syria will fall into the hands of the terrorists. And certainly the Jewish forces have opened hospitals up on the Golan Heights, where certainly the wounded rebels can be brought in and treated. Now, the rebels, of course, are Sunnis. The government is under the control of the Shia Muslims, and so basically what you're seeing in Syria is certainly a war between the Sunnis, backed by Saudi Arabia and by the United States, and the Shias, of course, backed by certainly Iran. Iran is the only major Shia nation there. And then, of course, Hezbollah is also primarily Shia. So basically, you have these two countries. And then, of course, you have a lot of Shias, a significant number of Shias. The majority of the people in Iraq are Shia Muslims. So basically, of course, you have this constant conflict between the Shia and Sunnis. It's being fought there in Syria today. And most of the rebels, I think, that are being brought into the hospitals there on the Golan Heights are Sunni Muslims, and they hate the Jews, and yet the Jews are the only ones who are there to treat them, and basically they do, because of course the Jews have an altruistic idea of helping. They really always have, and they're doing a great job. And yet, of course, they get very little credit for this. But everything is being more or less beginning to be mobilized there. The people in Israel are really increasingly concerned about what's going on, because they begin to see that they're moving into a crisis situation. And certainly the American troops are there. American troops are in Jordan. American troops are in Lebanon. American troops are certainly in Iraq. American troops are stationed in Turkey. And everybody knows that something big is coming down the line. Of course, you're not going to get this here in the United States. You're not going to get the true story. But we've deployed large numbers of troops over there. Of course, we've been consistently, in my estimation, financing the Sunni Muslims over there. We're financing the rebels. We're financing Al-Qaeda. We're financing them. We're training them. Certainly, we're arming them. I mean, where do you think all the weapons come from for the rebels? Do you think they just come out of nowhere? Of course not. But we can't tell the American people what's going on. It's a tragedy situation, but the average American has little idea of what's going on in that part of the world. But my fear is that it's a prelude to a much larger war. But Cheryl, you go ahead and pick up your story. You were just telling us certainly that the people over there are much more concerned than they have been in the past. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, that's true. Yeah, they're seeing more and more attacks happening by individuals, by teams of people, the Palestinians. And just to finish the story, I was saying there was a tourist with Jewish people walking down a wadi in the water with kids enjoying their time. They were getting close to their car, and there were Palestinians there that began shooting. And so they ran, and they actually did not get hurt. But, you know, this is close to the Dead Sea. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. East Jerusalem, you can go to the western side of Jerusalem. It doesn't matter where you go. There are attacks that are happening in many, many different places that people aren't hearing about. The Ministry of Tourism wants to build up the tourism, which is great. And more tourists have been here than I have seen in so many years. It took me 2 hours to get through Jerusalem yesterday. And that's a good thing for Israel. But they don't want to scare the tourists away. Tourists are safe. No one wants to attack the tourists. They only want to stop the Jewish people. The Palestinians want to stop the Jewish people. The Jewish people want the Palestinians to leave them alone so they can have a normal life. But, of course, the Palestinian people, especially the ones living near these areas where the Arab villages are, they are retaliating by doing vandalism, by burning buildings, by slashing tires of cars. And Israel is coming down hard on those Jews. They're arresting them. So as they arrest the Jewish people for retaliating, the Jewish people here are demonstrating against it, saying, look, the Arabs are killing us, nothing's happening to them, yet we're being arrested for burning a building or slashing tires. Neither one is good, neither one should be happening, but this is the situation here. People are tired of being attacked, and they say the government isn't doing enough to protect the people in certain areas, because, well, they're running thin on security, too. Israel is trying to watch every single border. They're trying to watch the inside of Israel. There was an unmanned aerial vehicle that came over from Hezbollah. So Hezbollah, as you said, the Shiites are watching Israel, and Israel had to shoot that unmanned vehicle down. Thank God they saw it. But Hezbollah took over the border, literally took over. They have roadblocks. They have surveillance equipment. They took over the border on Israel, now on their northern border. So things have gotten much more dangerous in the north also.
And ladies and gentlemen, basically this, I think, is sort of a seething cauldron. Of course, basically what's happening is everything's being done to get the Palestinians to hate the Jews and get the Jews to react against it, just exactly as they are manipulating us today to hate the Muslims. We're doing everything we can to antagonize the Muslims, to get the Muslims to hate America. And now they're doing everything they can to get the Americans to hate the Muslims, and pointing out certainly all the mosques in this country and certainly all the Muslims who are here. Most of them just want to live their lives, but there really are forces behind the scenes that want a major conflict. And basically, you can't have a conflict unless you have an enemy. So they're creating the best enemies we could buy. And certainly, our funds are being used to fund this whole world radical Islamic movement, which threatens Israel, but it threatens America today increasingly. And yet, who's funding it? Nobody ever asked that any more than during World War II. The average American asked, who's funding the Nazis? Certainly, they couldn't be doing all these things on their own. Who's putting up the money? Who's building the weapons for the Nazis? Well, that's a subject for another time. Same thing during Vietnam, but it's like deja vu all over again. And when you study Vietnam, when you study the Second World War, you find a pattern, and that pattern, I believe, is being enacted again today. Well, Cheryl, certainly, is the violence at all affecting the general economy? Of course, I know tourism is a large part of the economy, but certainly is this having an effect on the living standards of the average Jewish person? My understanding is that the average Jewish person has a pretty hard time as far as making it there. Prices are high and wages are low. What's your take on this?
Yeah, it's true. It's not an easy place to live. The economy, they're having problems here like they are anywhere else in the world, probably not as bad as in some of the places. But people are struggling. Most households have one car. The other person takes the bus. And people make, the minimum wage is low here. So, you know, they may take home $2,000 for a family of five people. It's not much. But when you look at the West Bank, in the West Bank, the Palestinian Authority, they pay their people between $300 and $500 a month. So they sneak into Israel to get this wage, this higher wage, even if it's minimum wage. So there are people protesting against where the money's going. A lot goes to security. A lot goes, unfortunately, in every area that you go to, you see security officers in the stores, the malls, places you go to, they search your purse, they search your being, you walk through a metal detector. All this stuff has to have, you know, spent by money. But you, when you go to the Palestinian areas, they don't have that. They don't have security. They don't have to worry about people coming in to try to bomb them or kill them. So Israel pays a lot more in security than any other country that I know of at this point. So, yes, it's not easy for them.
Well, I think it's a tragic situation. Now, what's ever happened to all the refugees from Gaza? Certainly, why the Israel was told, you know, if you just turn Gaza over to the Palestinians, you have to get a land for peace. Don't you want peace? And so they, Israel, certainly very foolishly, in my estimation, by a force of arms, at bayonet point, take the thousands of people who are living in Gaza, Jews living in Gaza, many of them 20, 30 or more years, and then, of course, they forced them to leave their homes and their businesses and their greenhouses. And then, of course, they turned it over to the Palestinians. And instead of having peace, they used it as a base for lobbing missiles into the southern part of Israel. They're trying to do that now with what they call in Judea and Samaria, trying to force the Jews out of there. And just a name. But, of course, do you think if they give up more land, they're going to have peace? I don't think peace is ever going to be here until our Lord comes. But what's happening as far as forcing the settlers out, the Jewish settlers out of Judea and Samaria. Is that still going on?
Yeah, people are really broken between this. There are some people that still believe if they give more land, they'll get peace. But very few people believe that in Israel. As you said, history shows that they have given land. They've given Jericho. They've given Bethlehem. They've given Gaza. They've given other areas. And there has been no peace. As a matter of fact, over 20 rockets came in since the end of the Gaza conflict. And it's starting to trickle in a little bit more and more. No one's gotten killed, thank God, but the siren goes off. You have to run to the bomb shelter. There is no peace when they trade land. Now, the United States came in with John Kerry, was here just recently, and he says you have to give concessions. And if you give concessions and you sit down at the table to have negotiations, well, then you will get peace with the Palestinians. And Israel knows that that hasn't worked in the past. John Kerry wants Israel to give up 123 prisoners now that have blood on their hands. A lot of them have blood on their hands. They have killed Jews or they have planned terrorist attacks. Some of these people that they let go in the past as a concession or a goodwill gesture to get the Palestinians to negotiate, some of them have been let go, and now they went out and killed people, and they have been rearrested. So the Palestinians are protesting the rearrest of some of these terrorists, even though they have killed people. So this is one of America's plans. John Kerry came, and he wanted to give $700 million in aid to the Palestinian people to help them. But beyond that, it was amazing because now he wants to put billions of American U.S. dollars it says billions worth of investment in the Palestinian Authority. He wants to invest in initiating jobs for the people. He wants to take Area C, which is the area that Israel controls in the West Bank areas, where most of the big settlement blocks, they're just Jewish communities. It was no man's land. And America wants to give that to the Palestinians, build all kinds of factories, get them self-sufficient because they're not even able to pay their own people in the government. It's a welfare state. They just raise money from other states.
Well, hold that thought for just a minute. Our guest is Cheryl Hancock. If you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464. If you have a question for Cheryl, give us a call. Cheryl, forgive me for interrupting you, but the computer runs the program. I just sit here and run the board. But you were right ahead. You were certainly talking, go right ahead with what you were saying before I so rudely interrupted you.
No, it's okay. There's a lot going on here, and I could just go on and talk for an hour straight, but I don't want to do that.
No, you go right ahead. We're enjoying hearing what you have to say about the situation. Of course, you were saying about how John Kerry was just saying, if you just we're just going to certainly put factories in, we're going to make jobs for the Palestinians,
right,
and that's going to make everybody happy. But
right,
I believe that there are people who really want this conflict between the Arabs and the Palestinians and the Israelis, and I don't think, no matter what happens, why they're not going to have peace there. We've certainly seen no precedent for it. Going back to 1948, I see very little precedent for the future. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, to just finish with what's going on here, with what America came. I was there at the airport when Obama came in. I was there when he gave his speech at the Convention Center, and he sounded so good. Let's do this. Let's have peace. Let's give everyone a chance. Let's give peace a chance. Remember the song from the 70s? All we are saying is give peace a chance. Well, yeah, it sounds really nice. People stood up in the applause, but now Israel's saying they turned around and they spit in our face, because with doing this, what they're doing, what they're wanting Israel to do is give land. They said you have to take risks. Risk? You're risking the lives of Jewish people. And when those people from Gaza, as you said earlier, moved out, thousands of Jews moved out, all the Palestinians did was move closer so they can shoot rockets. People have died in Israel because they gave land for peace, because they gave peace a chance. Giving peace a chance is not working. Netanyahu said yesterday in a meeting, he said they don't want peace with Israel. They really don't want peace with Israel. They say the peace will come when Israel leaves. And I work with Palestinians. And so I've talked to my Palestinian friends and I said, is this true, that the only time there will be peace is when the Jews leave? They said, yes, of course. They said the Palestinians own this land, you know, from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates River. And until they're gone from that area, he will not have peace with them. This is what they're taught in the school as kids. 8-year-old kids are being taught this. They're growing up with this. Who are they going to believe? Their teachers, their parents, or us, who say, no, that's not the true history. The Jews were here 3,000 years ago. They came in 1948, and they were given this land. They're trying to make a land for their people. They want to call it a Jewish state because there's so much anti-Semitism going on around the entire world. They're just trying to give the people a place to live. Now, John Kerry, he wanted to give all this money, $700 million in aid, and our government, the United States government, did not want to pass it. But Barack Obama bypassed a Congress block and signed a waiver, and this is what it says, declaring that aid to the Palestinian Authority is important to the security and interests of the United States. So we are giving billions of dollars, and even worth, like in investments, like you just said, to create jobs, because they won't use the money that they're getting to create jobs for their people. It's a very sad situation for the Palestinian people. I work with them because I feel sorry for them. I take them clothes. I take them food. They become my friends. but they don't have any kind of life there. Their government is not giving them any kind of life. It's very sad.
And I don't think the average individual living in the security of America, almost utopian society where everybody, I mean, we got 48.8 million Americans on food stamps. Isn't it wonderful to get free food? We have certainly 100 million people on Medicare and Medicaid together. 100 million people getting Medicare or Medicaid. Isn't it wonderful to get almost free medical care? But basically, ladies and gentlemen, certainly over in Palestine, people have to eke out a living. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cheryl Hancock. If you have a question, or give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. We had a call from a fellow named Dean up in Spokane and wanted to know if anybody over in Israel talks about the threat of an EMP attack. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's an electromagnetic pulse attack. It's certainly triggering a nuclear bomb 100 or 200 miles in the sky, beaming gamma rays down at the ground and simply wipe out the electrical system. Do they talk about the threat of an EMP attack there or the possible consequences? And of course, if they had an EMP attack, I would think they'd not only wipe out the electrical grids in Israel, they'd wipe them out in the adjacent Palestinian areas and in Syria and that whole area. You can't limit to a very small area. Anybody talk about the threat of an EMP attack in Israel?
No, actually, they haven't been talking about the EMP attack. They have been talking about we have a cyber war going on here. And as a matter of fact, on Israel's birthday, Israel became 65 years old not too long ago. And someone threatened to pull down all the websites, all the internet in Israel. And they managed to damage a lot. Electricity went out here where I live. It just went out in a lot of different places. The internet went down. They put different things on sites. They are doing cyber war. Now there's a special unit in the IDF, in the Israel Defense Force, that is assigned just to cyber war. Because if they do take down the grids, or they can stop things, as you know, electronically and through the internet. And so that is a huge concern here in Israel.
And so basically they did a fair amount of damage then. How long ago was this that you say it was just on the anniversary, the 50th anniversary?
No, this is just last month, on the 65th anniversary by the Hebrew calendar. Israel actually was born May 14th, 1948, but by the Hebrew calendar, it was in April that the birthday fell. And as fireworks were going off and people were doing their celebrations, of course, others were working to shut down Israel. And they did a good job. They didn't do as good as they said. They threatened to just close Israel down completely. Israel is very intelligent. As a matter of fact, they have a little Silicon Valley, which if you live in California, you know Silicon Valley is really one of the high-tech places in America. It's great near San Jose and all that. But they have a Silicon Valley here near Tel Aviv. These people are smart, and they know how to fight against these things. So this, some damage was done, but not enough to really do anything to hurt Israel.
Well, I would be much more worried about the threat of a war and of bombs and things like that. And certainly then and of missiles, this would be the big thing, my concern, much more so than the computer hacking, although I'm sure it's very distressing there. But I certainly think probably Israel is probably better prepared for the cyber attack than the United States, because we've had a number of our major corporations have certainly been shut down for several days because of the hacking. Now, basically, of course, I'm sure they're doing all sorts of things then to sort of disrupt the society as much as they can. Would that be an accurate appraisal?
You said they're doing as much as they can to disrupt society?
To sort of disrupt life there in Israel. Yes. In other words, the Palestinians, the Arabs, some of these people who hate Israel, they're
right.
Doing everything they can to disrupt society.
That's true. And it's, and you never know when it's coming. There are people that go to school. The Hebrew University is up on the hill in northern Jerusalem. You could be walking down the street. There's a Hadassah hospital there, and people are getting stabbed. Arabs are running up to the Jews and just stabbing people randomly. They're shooting at cars randomly. I'll be going into the West Bank next week, and yes, that's going to be one of our threats. You know, we have to be careful because we can be shot at. They can throw rocks at the cars. They threw a rock at a car recently and almost killed a little girl who's been in the hospital ever since. So people are dying left and right from these little attacks, you know, one person here, one person there. And so it's not a safe place. And they're doing this purposely to disrupt the life of the Jewish people. They really want the Jewish people out of here. They don't want them in the Middle East. And then if you've got the Jewish people out of here, as you know, this is the only democracy in the Middle East, and it's a Jewish state. It's the only Jewish state in the world, and you have about 20 Arab states around them who don't want them here. So that's just the way it stands.
But because that's where they were. This is actually the land that God gave to Abraham, and certainly in the Holy Scriptures are true, and I believe they are. Why, of course, this land was given to the Jews, and basically the Jews have been living there for, well, since going back to the time of Christ. And basically they were certainly major residents there in Jerusalem for the last 2,000 years. We never talk about that, but it's true. Cheryl, how can people get in touch with your ministry?
Well, they can contact me at my email address, and that's reportingfromisrael@gmail.com.
Reportingfromisrael@gmail.com?
That's correct.
Okay. And so the reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. If you'd like to get in touch with Cheryl, and of course we're in touch with her regularly. She sends out a wonderful report on a regular basis to keep you abreast of what's going on over there. The information you're not going to get, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean, white with gold. God bless America. From the mountains to the prairie.
Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Cheryl Hancock. And Cheryl has been, how long have you been over there, 12 years or more?
Yeah, actually it's going on 14 years this month.
14 years, and Cheryl's been living over there, is our correspondent, keeps us appraised of what's going on, and certainly is with us every month here. She'll keep us abreast of what the unfolding events in Israel, but basically, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that they're moving towards a climactic time. I think they're going to be very difficult times over there. Now, I know you're coming back, and is it going to be back in June? Do we know that you'll be back and you'll be taking a tour? And if people would like to have you come and speak in their area, are you available?
Yes, I will be on a speaking tour beginning probably the beginning of July until October. October's already filled. And I've been invited all over the United States, so I could be in anyone's area there. So if anybody wants me to come, it's possible I can come there and speak to you or your church or your school about what's going on here in Israel. So you can just email me at that reportingfromisrael@gmail.com, and I will respond.
All right, fine. So basically, if you'd like to have a Cheryl come, and basically she's fascinating. Let's see if we can get to Tony calling from Michigan. I'm not sure here. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, do you have a question for our guest?
I have one comment and one question for Cheryl.
Okay.
Okay. I heard her say a little while ago that they don't want the Jews there, they would never leave. They would never happen. Jews will come back first before that happens. And I'm sure of that in my heart.
Right,
that
okay.
Ever happen.
Okay.
Right. And the question is, what are the Ethiopian Jews doing? Well, I know they're there. They were Ethiopians. What were they doing? Do you hear anything about them?
The question then, Cheryl, is what about the Ethiopian Jews?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm going to be seeing them this week. I have an appointment, and I actually take clothing, food to some of the more poor Ethiopians that are here. It's hard for them because everyone that comes to this country has to learn Hebrew. So the government pays them while they go to Hebrew class, but the older ones, like us, it's harder to learn a new language, so they can't get jobs. And what they're doing is they're making pillowcases and things to hang on the wall, and we take those things. Like when I'm on my speaking tour, I'll bring some of their things so people can buy them, and that will help them with their income. So I try to help the people as much as possible. And, yes, they are bringing more planes of Ethiopians here. They didn't want to bring any more because some of them have mixed blood. Some of them have become Christians while they were in Ethiopia or have a family member that's a Christian. But they still have been bringing Ethiopians here. Yeah, so it's a good story.
Yeah, because I heard Rabbi Erkstein, he was saying that they date further back than him.
That they what?
I heard Rabbi Erkstein, he'd be on a Christian on the TV. Rabbi,
right, I know
Erkstein.
Him.
Right. Well, he came up, got the plane with them when they brought him. This was, well, a couple years ago. He came, got the plane with them, and they kissed the ground when they got into Israel. And he made a statement. He said that they date back further than him.
Okay.
They date back further than him. Yes, they do. I mean, there are different groups of people, and I was going to mention the Peruvian Jews that are coming back now and making aliyah.
Mm-hmm.
Indian Jews, people from India, are coming
mm-hmm.
and making aliyah. Making mm-hmm. aliyah means immigrate back to Israel. And the Ethiopians,
mm-hmm.
yes, they are Jewish. They've been practicing Judaism in Ethiopia for many, many centuries, and so
that's
coming
back. But I just like before I go to tell you that they were never, the Jews will never call us the land that God gave them.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Tony. You're absolutely right. And Jews are coming from all over the world to Israel at this time in history. That's why, certainly, I am firmly convinced we're living in prophetic times. God bless you.
And
so good to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
And good to hear from you too, Stan. Tell your wife I said hi.
I certainly will. Bye bye. Okay, that was Tony calling from Michigan. Haven't heard from Tony for some time, but certainly a faithful listener there. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as Cheryl was saying earlier, a lot of people are coming from other countries, from the West, from America, other countries. Young Jews are coming to Israel and they're joining the army. And they have some sort of a name for them. Maybe Cheryl will give that again. But these are people who these are Jews from other countries who are coming to defend their land. Would that be a fair appraisal, Cheryl?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, some of them know that they are fulfilling prophecy and they're coming back. Some are just coming back because they're being attacked in other countries, anti-Semitism. And when the Russians, I went to the Russians one time, Ukraine, that made Aliyah, and I showed them in the Bible. I said, look, this is prophecy. It was their Bible, the Jewish Bible, which is our Bible, too. We call it the First Testament, and then, we have the Second Testament, being Christian. But I showed them. I said, look, the Lord's going to bring you back from the north, south, east, and west. And these people started crying. They never read the Bible before. Though they were Jewish and they were practicing Judaism, they never read that this was prophecy, that the Lord was going to bring them back. And they realized they were part of the prophecy that's happening today. And yes, she's right. Tony's right. The Lord will intercede, and we're just looking for that time. We see all the bad stuff going on, nations surrounding Israel and Jerusalem. We see this happening. We're sitting on the front line watching it, but we know who wins. We know what happens in the end.
And I think that's really what's so hard for the average person in America, to look and see what's going on and realize they see what's happening historically, they see what's happening politically, they see what's happening culturally, but they don't see what's happening spiritually. And basically, they certainly look at the things objectively without understanding there is a supernatural element to everything going on. And certainly, I talk a great deal about what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, the group that controls the world today. And they have their plan. Of course, there are many, many branches of it. They sometimes work together. They sometimes work in conflict. But all of them completely ignore the fact that there is a God, because they don't believe in a God. But they ignore the fact there is a God, and the final analysis is not their plans that are going to be fulfilled. It's God's plan. And that's what's really so exciting about suddenly seeing an unfolding of events and being able to look at this from a Christian and from a prophetic point of view. Would you agree, Cheryl?
Yes, I would. And, you know, what's really fun is I work with Palestinians. I don't know how that came about, because that's not what my intent was when I came to Israel. But that's the area the Lord has me in, is working with Palestinians. And these people are having dreams and visions about Jesus. And I'm from Calvary Chapel. So for me, it was like, what? I couldn't believe it until I met Palestinians that had dreams and visions. And one man came up to me in this parking lot one time in Jerusalem, and he says, you know what? You're a Christian. I know you're a Christian. You are, right? I said, yeah, I am. Why? And this is a Muslim man. He says, because I had a dream and I was sick. And in my dream, Jesus came to me. And he said that when you wake up, you will be well and you will know that I am Yeshua, who is salvation. And he woke up and he was healed. So he walked up and down the streets in Jerusalem and he found a Catholic church. He wanted to learn about Jesus. And the sisters were bringing him up in the Lord. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Don't you want to go to Jesus and tell him yourself and talk to him? And, of course, we ended up baptizing this man. And he just wants God's love. These Palestinian people are looking for the love of God. Long story short, this guy was evangelizing, telling people what happened to his life, how it changed. And he was shot by Palestinians. But he said, it's a miracle because they should have shot me in the chest the way they were pointing, but they shot me only in the legs. Look, I only have 3 bullet holes. He survived, and now he's staying in that area to tell those people about the Lord. This is happening over and over and over again. The Palestinians are coming to know the Lord in dreams and visions. By the time I see them, and I just do my shopping, I just go around doing my daily things, and they come up to me and saying, we heard about this God of love. Tell us about him. We want to know about this. Is it true? They don't hear about love when they go to the mosque. They don't hear about love in the Quran. But when they hear that there's a God that really loves them, they grab hold of that. And many Muslims around the Middle East, thousands of them, hundreds of thousands of them, are coming to the Lord like crazy. And now my Jewish friends want to meet them. They said, gosh, I can't believe their hearts really changed. Because one thing I teach them is that they need to learn to love their neighbors. That's what God taught us. You know, that's in the Ten Commandments. Learn to love your neighbors. And they are. And as the Jewish people see this, they're going, wow, they're really changing. So you can see the change inside of them. So this is happening a lot. So God is doing a mighty work over here in Israel.
And I think that, you know, for the average Christian in America, why we, you know, basically go to church or not, it's up to you. You read the Bible or not, it's up to you. Until recently, of course, you could openly talk about your faith. If you're in the military, you're not going to be allowed to do that anymore. But that has just started recently. But what people don't understand is that in other parts of the world, if you become a Christian, why it could cost you your life. And basically, all throughout the Muslim world, why Christians are, by me, Muslims are converting to Christianity, and they're certainly being killed. I mean, the average American finds this difficult to believe, but it really is going on. And you've actually known some of the people who have been killed, don't you, Cheryl?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I wanted to say this. I work sometimes with people called collaborators. And most of the Palestinians do not like collaborators because collaborator means that you have given information to the Israeli authorities and stopped maybe a suicide bombing or a bus attack or something, and you saved Jewish lives, which makes you an enemy to the Palestinian Authority, to Islam. If you become a Christian, you are an enemy to Islam because you've converted, you've left, you're a traitor. And in order to get the honor back in your family, this just happened the other day, as a matter of fact, in order to get the honor back in your family, you have to kill somebody, another Jew, and then they say, okay, now this family has honor back in it because they killed a Jew. So that guy I told you about at the bus station that was stabbed in the chest over and over by this Palestinian Arab, he died, and the Arab was caught. But his brother went and killed a Jew. And why did he do that? Because they put Palestinian Authority or the Hamas or Fatah, whoever you want to call it, they put the pressure on this guy saying, you don't have honor in your family. You need to prove yourself. So he went and killed a Jewish person to put honor back in the family. So now Hamas says, you guys have 1 month to turn yourselves in if you're a collaborator. We'll be lenient on you if you turn yourselves in. I don't know how many of you saw these people being drugged by the end of their feet. They were tied to the back end of a car, and they were drugged around the street during the Gaza conflict. These were collaborators. They would put notes, pin them to their chest, saying collaborator, traitor. They would drag them around the streets until they died. And so the Hamas gave them 1 month to turn themselves in. Many of them turned themselves in. I don't know what happened to them, but now they are hunting the ones that didn't turn themselves in. They shoot them in front of firing squads. They hang them. I know personally ones that have been tortured. They tell me how they've been tortured, and I know some that have been killed. So these are the people that I work with. They are not loved by the Palestinians, by Islam. They're not loved by the Jews because they're afraid of them, because they're Palestinian. So who's going to love them? Our Lord, Jesus Christ, will love them through us if we allow him to do that through us. And they're finding love because of it. So anyways, these people are coming to the Lord like crazy, these collaborators, because they're looking for the love of Jesus.
And people don't understand that there is no love in the Muslim faith. Basically, everything, you're never even sure that you're going to go to heaven unless you die, you know, in the process of jihad. But you're never sure of anything. It's always a very uncertain situation. But there's certainly no love that's taught. In fact, they basically teach hatred. Hatred of anyone who is not a Muslim. Hatred of any Muslim who should convert and decide to become a Christian. And basically, it's all based upon fear. And you are kept in the Muslim faith by fear, and with the full knowledge that if you were to leave the Muslim faith, they would have the justification for killing you. And your family would abandon you if you were to leave the Muslim faith. This is the reality of what's going on today. The average person here in America who's a Muslim, most of them don't want anything to do with it. May go to the mosque for business purposes, but most of them are certainly not wound up in the Muslim faith. It's certainly, in fact, a lot of them have become Christians, and I think it's really sort of exciting that God is working within the Muslims, and certainly even in Iran. There's a tremendous Christian revival in Iran. You're never hearing these things, but there's a tremendous Christian revival in Iran, and now we're talking certainly about backing Israel when they go in and start killing people there in Iran. We live in a world gone mad. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Cheryl Hancock, who's been over there in Israel 14 years, certainly working with the people there, of course, and doing everything she can to let people understand the forces that are at work in the world today. Because truly, as we've said repeatedly, we're involved in a spiritual battle. It's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural, educational, financial battlefield. But it is still primarily a spiritual battle. And if you don't look at the world from that point of view, you're going to be totally confused with the unfolding events in the coming months. Go right ahead, Cheryl. We've just got a few more minutes.
Okay, well, also that we got to know that the Palestinian Authority is not a democracy. So anyone that comes against the Palestinian Authority can be killed. And the journalists, even if this one journalist was just put in prison because he wrote something not nice about a boss, which is the head of the Palestinian Authority. They have to watch
they're back there. So they can't say much. I can't expose who's telling me the things that I am telling you, but I do interview them on a radio program, and I have somebody speak for them, translating what they're saying so that they can get their stories out. They want their stories out. They want to say that they are held prisoner under the Palestinian Authority. Some of them have gotten out and made asylum in other countries. It's so bad there. They can't do what they want. Now, one last thing I'd like to bring up is about the holy sites in Israel. And it's amazing because we're talking about the Temple Mount. We're talking about a Christian holy site. But the Palestinian Authority has given Jordan the control over the holy sites in Jerusalem. And now there's a big fight over the Temple Mount because the Jews want to be able to go up and pray. We're coming into the last days. And as we get up there and they go onto the Temple Mount, Jews are being arrested. You're not even supposed to act like you're praying. You can't take a Bible up there, even if you're a Christian. You cannot congregate. You cannot pray. You cannot sing. You can't move your mouth when you're up there. You can pray silently in your heart only. But if you do anything else, you can be arrested. So Israel, the Jewish people, want control back of the Temple Mount. They want to be able to pray at their holy site. But now it's been given to Jordan, so we're going to see what happens there. It's going to escalate, I'm sure.
And I think that we're going to be seeing escalation sometime within this next year. And very well, yeah. Jordan may very well be caught up in this conflict as well. And certainly it can very well spread over to Iraq. It can spread over into Egypt. And certainly, you read Psalm 83, there's talk of a war of all the nations surrounding Israel, attacking Israel. Now, that's not the Ezekiel 38-39 war. This is the Psalm 83 war. We actually have a book on that. And basically, we're going to have to see how this thing unfolds. But I believe we're living in truly prophetic times. Well, certainly, go right ahead, Cheryl. What are your thoughts, certainly? For some ways, I'm rather glad you're going to be back here in July. It may be better if we had you here earlier, because I think at uncertain times, the average American, I think, has no idea what's going on. We don't want this to interfere with our basketball season, baseball season. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the real world. We live in a world of entertainment and sports, but the real world, people are dying for their faith. And they're dying in Palestine. They're dying in Israel. We're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest, Cheryl Hancock, to wrap up tonight's program. We hope you've enjoyed it. Once again, how can people reach you? What's your email address?
My email address is reportingfromisrael@gmail.com.
Reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. Well, Cheryl, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up tonight's program.
Okay, what I'd like to say is that, yes, things are escalating in every area here in Israel, and people believe something may come about this year, just like you're saying. Something's going to happen. And, yes, I'm supposed to come back for a speaking tour. I'm very torn, because after you live in a place for 14 years, you see kids being born, you go to their bar mitzvah, these Arab children, I've seen them, the parents not even being married. Now they're married, they have children, they're growing, they have become my friends. I remember being in the States on a speaking tour, and there was bombs coming down on people's homes, and I just wanted to be here. I wanted to be here with my friends, because when you know that they're under that kind of problem, you want to be there to help, you want to be there to comfort them, you want to be there to take supplies to them. So in a way, I hope I'm here if something happens, because it would drive me crazy to be over there and knowing my friends are going through this. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for the people that are here, both Arabs, Muslims, Jews, Druze, Bedouins, all of the people, and pray for wisdom for our leaders, whether they be in America or Israel or wherever else. We need to pray. And I thank you for your time, Dr. Stan.
It's always a pleasure. God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us, Cheryl. We'll look forward to talking to you next month.
Wonderful. Shalom. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
This is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, that you enjoy our monthly conversation with Cheryl Hancock, who is a very, very courageous woman over there, certainly in a country that will very well may soon be at war, but wanted to be there because she has friends there, and she wants to be able to be there and minister and help people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a very, very uncertain world. You're not getting this information elsewhere. I hope you enjoyed the program this evening with Cheryl, and I hope you understand that we here in America will be involved in the coming war. Now, whether it's going to be within the next few months or the next year or two, I don't know. But I would suspect there's a timetable, and that timetable is rapidly drawing, moving towards a time of crisis and chaos. And it certainly, as it was in the First and Second World War, the Vietnam War, we waged wars in other countries and killed the civilians there. But, of course, we did not have the chaos in America. I fear that this time there will be chaos in America, and you should begin making your preparations fiscally, financially, but mostly spiritual for what lies ahead. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You certainly need to get our talks, certainly on Agenda 21, the covert plan, on population control, the covert agenda. We recommend certainly a new DVD we're carrying called Operation Terror. It's a full-length movie. It's the story of what really happened on September 11, 2001, when they killed 3,000, almost 3,000 Americans. And of course, certainly nothing you saw that day was real. We have a couple of DVDs put out by Richard Gage, who heads architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. And there's over 1,800 architects and engineers who signed a petition saying those buildings didn't come down because they were hit by planes. Those were controlled demolition. Those were controlled demolition. There were words to that effect. Ladies and gentlemen, they killed them. They murdered them. And if they'd murdered the people there in the Twin Towers and then the Pentagon and on the planes, why, what would they do to you? In fact, one of the planes actually landed ahead of time, and the people were all marched off into a hangar and never seen again. We're not talking about something imaginary. You want to see Operation Terror. Operation Terror, and get the two DVDs by Richard Gage. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly, our webpage is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, you can go there, you can watch our DVDs, you can listen to our radio programs, either live 4 hours a day or certainly archived 24 hours a day. You can read our newsletters, you can read my population control agenda monograph, and of course, we link to a number of things. We have a section on symbols. Basically, you have to understand that so much of what the occult does is centers around symbols. And of course, if you look at the symbols there, look at Nero's cross, and then look at the logo of the Trilateral Commission at trilateral.org. Trilateral.org is not simply by coincidence. Between 1977 and 2008, every president of the United States and or vice president came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. Six of the eight presidents of the World Bank, eight of the 10 were U.S. trade representatives, nine of the 12 secretaries of state, certainly nine of the 12 secretaries of defense. There's never been more than 80 members of the North American chapter. Some of those are Canadians and Mexicans. Do you really think that we have a free and open and democratic elections? We certainly, if you'd like to get Barry Goldwater's book, we have used copies called With No Apologies. We're on 280. He talks about David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission. The goal is to take over political and economic control. And he's talking about the world by first seizing political control of the government of the United States. By first seizing political control of the government of the United States, that's page 280 of With No Apologies by Barry Goldwater. You want to get the book, 1-800-544-8927. We have David Rockefeller's memoirs where he talks about the secret cabal that he's a member of. That's on page 405, working against the best interests of the United States. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for radio liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is May 2nd, 2013. It is Thursday. Duct tape warning ahead. You will need it today. You know, we, the Power Hour people, seem to understand a little bit more about what is going on, which only makes it more confusing to us because we do understand what's going on. But heaven help those that have no concept of what's going on. I really feel for them. I've got a couple of stories today that if you weren't well balanced, you would probably just lose it. I mean, I'm serious. Coming from the federal government, trust us, we only tell you the truth because we are the good guys. Well, we'll talk about those stories in a little bit. But in the Boston massacre news, three more people arrested. Students, friends of the Zokar brothers. They appear to be at least 18 years of age. And one statement that was made on CNN, I have to tell you, I'm still